Earl Young, a lot of you already know. He's a resident of here in Abilene, a well-known athlete from Abilene Christian University. He is an Olympic medal winner, but he's also a cancer survivor. But even more important than all of that is he's a godly man and an amazing Christian example to us. And that stands out more than any award that I think any of us could ever achieve. I want to give him as much time as I can, and so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about Earl because I think a lot of you know him. But I do want to show you this quick video to begin this process, and so I want to introduce to you Earl Young.
He got the gift of life today. A former Olympian from Highland Park met his match, a blood marrow donor from Germany who saved him.
Channel 8's David Schechter was there for the surprise.
How many gold medals you seen today?
From 1960 Olympic medal recipient to bone marrow recipient, Earl Young of Highland Park has led a charmed life.
This is quite a morning.
That's him today at an event for the charity Delete Blood Cancer, which helped match him with a donor from Germany in 2012.
She was the only perfect match out of 22 million. She was the only one that could save my life.
Her name is Christine Vogg. And what Earl doesn't know is that she's here in Dallas to surprise him.
It's so emotional for me to come here and to be here.
So while everyone enjoys their breakfast, she is backstage waiting.
And I so support him and his comment.
And that's when Earl, who's a bit of a talker, gets the hook.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to ask you to step aside.
It's been done before.
And then the moment no one here saw coming.
Please, you tell your pop. This is like a mother. She gave me life, like my mom gave me life.
Now that is worth traveling around the world for.
Wow, that one's heavy on me every time. I shouldn't see it too often. Thank you for this invitation this morning to speak to y'all. And as Jack said, a lot of friends in the audience. I love driving out here. It's an awesome time. Memories come flooding in, as you can imagine. I spent 6 years out here, did graduate and undergraduate work, and some of the greatest days of my life. Many things happened that set up how my life would be. I love to talk about purpose. And I know you believe in purpose, and I know you believe in God's purpose for us. And I'll give you a little, we're going to talk this morning, I'm going to tell you a bit about two things. Number one, the two most defining times of my life. And of course, Abilene had a lot to do with one of those defining times. Maybe both defining times, actually. I believe that God gives us gifts. I believe everyone in here has gifts. I don't believe you're just born with gifts. I believe you get gifts as you go. And as you produce, and as you mature, and as you're able to handle those gifts and do something with them. He doesn't give them out willy-nilly. He gives them to you because he knows you're going to do something with them. The first three gifts of my life were my mom and dad. Some of you know my mom and dad. Lost my dad the year before last. Mom is 101 and doing fine, thank you. She's the belle of this home that she's in, and she celebrated her 101st birthday this last month and was on the front page of the paper, and she's quite an inspiration to a number of people, and an inspiration to me, as you can imagine. But the day I was born, I see it as my mom and dad. I know you all can't say that. I know everyone can't say that. Some people aren't blessed to have the wonderful beginning that I had with them. And the other great gift was this awesome body. Thank you. Thank you. Some people go, whoa, a little ego there, Earl. No, there's no ego at all because I didn't have a thing to do with it. This body was a gift from my Father in heaven. And just like Eric Little says in Chariots of Fire, he made this body fast. And when I run, I feel his purpose too. I know that that's where it came from. I have no doubt. Now, the gold medal, this that I want to share with you all today, it travels with me everywhere. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. I won this. This was mine. With the gift that the Father gave me. And I like to think the day that I won this, that the father looked down and smiled, just like a daddy and a mama smile at their child when they give them a bike and they learn how to ride that bike or some other gift. Your child is good with music. You buy them a piano and they learn how to play that piano. I tend to see it the same way. And he smiles on us when we take our gifts and perform with our gifts. I didn't have to do it, but I found out early in life I was fast, and I found out that when you beat people, other people acknowledge you. And it was fun to beat people, and it was not any fun to get beat, which happened. When my daughter was about 6 years old, we came back from a soccer match, and they had lost. And we were sitting in our den with a bunch of medals up on a board on the wall. She was crying, and I said, hey, that happens. She said, no, I said, look at that board with all those medals that you won. I said, Stacy, I could put another board up with all that I didn't win. And that is the way life is, isn't it? We don't always win. But those winnings can take us higher and higher and higher, and so can the losses. I came from San Fernando, California. I need to tell you this. Bobby Morrow, and let me say this out on the hill. When I travel around the world and mention Abilene Christian, there are two things people know Abilene Christian for. The Church of Christ and track and field. And not in that order. Bobby Morrow put this school on the map. We're a great Christian school. We're a great school of theology. But those of you that didn't know him and don't know the history, Bobby Morrow was a 3 gold medalist from Melbourne in 1956. He was on the cover of Life. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He was known all over the world and gave Abilene Christian College a real boost in awareness around the world. He's my hero. He and Oliver Jackson, the track coach at the time, who was like a second father to me, came to California. Matter of fact, I was sitting in a class in a classroom and getting ready to graduate, and I was going to go to Occidental College out in California. Don Hood, you'll enjoy this story. And I get a note to come down to the registrar's office and call my dad. I call dad, and dad said, son, he said, Bobby Morrow and Oliver Jackson are here in my office. Could you get out of school and come and have lunch? Can you imagine Bobby Morrow and Oliver? I didn't know who Oliver Jackson was, but I knew who Bobby Morrow was, and he's here to have lunch with me. Went to lunch with them. Oliver told me about Abilene. Oliver was a great salesman, a great embellisher. I know I sat there staring at Bobby with my mouth open the whole time, but I said, you bet. I was to find out a few months later that the reason they were out there was my grandmother, my dad's mom, staunch Church of Christ. And you know what staunch Church of Christ. And grandma had written Oliver Jackson a letter and said she had a grandson that had been raised in Church of Christ, was a pretty fair runner. Would you consider helping him go to Abilene Christian? And that's where it all started. I had no intent to come here until I had lunch with Bobby that day. And I'll tell you, we drove in caravan style, got in 2 o'clock in the morning. I got out and went into Edwards and slept on the couch, got out and walked out the next morning, looked around and said, Lord, what have I done? What have I done? This boy from Southern California, from the San Fernando Valley, I couldn't believe it. And, you know, you can walk to class in the shade now. You couldn't back then. It was a little Spartan compared. But I'm here to talk to you today. I'd love to talk more about Abilene Christian. I'd love to talk more to you about running. But, and as you can imagine and as you know, the first most defining time of my life was coming here, was winning this gold medal, which I personally don't believe would have happened had I not come here. But I want to speak to you about the second most defining time of my life. And that was September 16th, 2011, when I went in to see my doctor because I had a little sniffle, a little cough that I couldn't seem to shake off. We had just started a new company. We were traveling a lot of pressure on us. And I thought, you know, normally you just go through the summer and you wear these things out, but this one wouldn't wear off. And I was working out. I had decided that I was at age 70. I decided I was going to see what kind of shape I could get in and maybe run masters. That puts you on the low side of the bracket, you know, 70 to 75. So I thought I'd see what I could do. And I thought the workouts were not coming around as well as they should. But I was chalking that up to, hey, it's going to be tougher than I thought it was. As it turned out, I went in that day to see my doctor, and he said, well, Earl, you haven't been in 4 years. He said, I need to keep your files up. He said, have you got time to do some tests? I said, you bet. You know, went back, did blood tests and x-rays, et cetera. I was walking down the hall, getting ready to leave, and he was walking up the hall, and he said, well, I'm glad you haven't left. He said, come in my office. I sat down across from Doc Sclaver, and he said, Earl, you don't feel bad? I said, no. He said, well, you should. He said, your white factory is shut down. You're very low on whites, and you're not making any. And, of course, as you know, that's your immune system. And I thought, you know, what went through my head was, probably going to get two shots rather than one. And I said, well, what are we going to do? And he said, well, I just called across the street and made an appointment for you to go over right now to Texas Oncology, and I want you to take this file with you. Okay. Still no worries. Went across the street, and there was a doctor waiting for me at the door. I handed him the file, and he looked at it, and his words were, this is not good. Wow. Day like any other day, almost. And he said, Mr. Young, we need to do a bone marrow biopsy. Do you have time? Sure. Go back in the procedure room. They put a needle in your hip and take some fluid out. And I went back in the waiting room. And in about 45 minutes, he comes out and says, Mr. Young, he said, come to my office. So here for the second time that day, I'm sitting across from a white coat, and this one says, Mr. Young, I have some bad news. Folks, I don't recall anybody telling me I have some bad news. Maybe a stat teacher, but very, very few times you ever really hear I've got some bad news. He said, you have acute myeloid leukemia. He said, do you know anything about that? I said, no, sir. I said, I know you don't want the word leukemia tied with your name. He said, well, that's right. And he said, I want you to know that you have the worst. He said, you have AML, and you also have a FLT3, which is something they discovered a few years ago that is basically for you and me a high-octane fuel source for the cells that are trying to kill me. He said, I said then, I knew the question to ask. I said, well, how long do I have? He said, maybe 3 months. Wow, I start off that morning just like you started off your morning today, like I started off mine. Very normal day, but by 3 o'clock, a man was telling me I was going to be dead in 3 months. He's looking at the file, and he said, Earl, he said, it says here you're 70, but he said, I can look at you and tell you you're not 70. He said, you're blessed with some good genes. Remember that 101-year-old mom? He said, you've got some good genes. He said, and not only that, he said, you've taken care of yourself. You've taken care of your body. When I speak to high school students and college students, that's something I always try to drive home, folks. It's not difficult to take care of your body. It's a lot of common sense, and you know it, and you know when you're not doing common sense. I'm not saying you have to think about everything you eat and drink. Just use common sense and a little bit of exercise. I heard from Ken Cooper told me a few years ago, the originator of aerobics. Ken said he had determined that a 20-minute walk empties your lymph nodes. That's what you want to empty, is your lymph nodes. That's where the toxins are. That's what gets you sick. 20-minute walk a day. And you don't have to do it every day. So anyway, he said, because you're healthy, because of these genes, he said, we might be able to get you a bone marrow transplant. I knew nothing about a bone marrow transplant. He said, it's that, or we give you chemo, we give you meds, and we try to see how long we can keep you around. He said, the only cure is a bone marrow transplant. I said, well, bone marrow transplant, let's go. Talk about naive, talk about not knowing what you're getting into. He said, okay, he said, you know, check into Baylor or Med City. I said, Med City. He said, I'll call over and go over right now. I said, well, I need to go home and talk to my family. I need to pull my family together and explain to them what's going on. So that night I checked into Med City. The next morning I started chemo. I was to have 4 rounds of chemo over the next 4 months and basically live at Med City during that time. What I didn't know and why we're here to swab today and talk to you about being a donor, what I didn't know was how difficult it would be to find a matching donor. I just assumed, okay, you're going to bring in some bone marrow and that's it. I knew nothing about it. 2 weeks before I was diagnosed, in Offenburg, Germany, a lady named Christine Wagg, who you saw a while ago on the video, became a donor. And Christine Wagg, out of the 22 million donors on file, was the only match for me. If Christine had chosen not to be a donor, Earl Young wouldn't be here telling you this story this morning. It's as simple as that. I'm here talking to you about life and death. Christine, on January 21st, 2012, a little over 4 months later, in Offenburg, Germany, she flew to Dresden, to a hospital in Dresden. They put a needle in here. Her blood flowed into a centrifuge, spinning out the T cells. Blood flowed back in here. Her body, which is abundant in T cells. When you're healthy, you got more of them than you know what to do with. But the blood comes back in and starts making even more T cells for her. They flew that bag of T-cells across the Atlantic to DFW, brought it immediately up to my room. It was almost midnight on the 21st. They hung that bag of life as high as they could get it so that gravity would pull every drop of Christine down into me. It's Christine's immune system that keeps me alive today. I love the comparison of that, folks. I love the comparison of what Christ does for our lives. How when we accept Christ and ask Him to come into our life and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and direct us, how Christ takes over and runs our lives, like Christine has taken over and runs my physical life. Without her, I wouldn't be here. And it's her cells that flow in me. I'll tell you how serious that is. I used to be male, B positive. I am now female type O. I mean, we get serious about this. And that's the only thing that is female about Earl Young. But that it is female type O now, and that's fine with me. I want to tell you that what I didn't know, too. I didn't know how tough the recovery would be. Nobody set me up for that. When you run into someone who's been through a bone marrow transplant, know they've experienced something that you don't want to experience, but they have fought for their life. I've described it many times. It's many times over the last 50 yards of a 400, but it reminds me of that. It takes everything you've got. It takes focus. It takes dedication. I laid in bed for at least a month after, really unable to get out of bed. And it's your body fighting, my cells fighting Christine's cells. My body knows there's something that's invaded that needs to be taken out. So your body fights and fights and fights. And I talked to my cells and I talked to my body and I said, hey, this person's given us life. Quit fighting. And I prayed to God and I said, Father, just like Paul, I said, for me to die is a gain. I'm not afraid of dying. I look forward to leaving here one day. I look forward to what God has planned. But if I'm just going to lay here and hurt, and if I'm not going to make it anyway, it's kind of a waste of time. And I would talk to the Father that way, and he heard me. I believe he had other plans. I'm here today is the other plan. We started 2 years ago, the Earl Young Foundation, Earl Young's team. And for the rest of my life, I'm going to do what I'm doing this morning. We are speaking at colleges, universities, many of them faith-based because there are about 1,000 of them in this country. We'll be speaking here in the month of February at Laterno. We'll be doing the same program at Dallas Baptist. Go in and speak at Chapel and then Swab. Donors. We're looking for donors from 18 to 55. Those are the limits on both ends. At Abilene Christian, we've had two drives. At Abilene Christian, we've had one donor that has already gone to transplant, Landa Darby. Landa, are you here today? She was going to try to make it. Oh, back there. Okay. And we'll hopefully during the question and answer, we'll have Landa say a few words. Chris Kirkland is here also, and Chris has been chosen as a donor. They're testing him now, and he will be involved in a transplant here in the next couple of months. We have swabbed 8,500 people in this two-year time period. We have had 11 go to transplant. Convert that. We saved 11 lives, given a chance at 11 lives. Not everybody makes it through the transplant. That can happen too. It's no guarantee. It's tough, but it's the only cure that we know today for many of the 70 blood cancers like AML. The spiritual event in my life from this disease, I wouldn't take for. I'll put it in these words. If God were to say to us right now, Earl, I gave you AML, I would say, thank you, Father. You know what I was before AML? I was lukewarm. What a waste of oxygen. What a waste of time. What a waste of effort or lack of effort. You know, we where Christ speaks about lukewarm, it's a discipline factor. It's to draw your attention to discipline, to bring your life around to what it should be, to use your gifts for what you should be using them for. It's an inspection. And I offer that to you today to inspect. Take a look at your own lives. We all know we can do more. We all know we want to do more. But don't fall in that lukewarm category. I never will again. I promise you. I give you that promise today. God has given me an awesome opportunity to talk to people, to help save lives. And I hope also to inspire, to encourage. I tell the Father that for the rest of my life, that's what I want to do. I want to encourage. I love talking to athletes, have something in common with them. I love telling them about a life that was lukewarm. I love telling them about a life that wasn't always what God would want it to be. With this comes a lot of temptations. A lot of the world comes in. It's very enticing. That old boy's good at selling what he wants us to believe. But that's gone. I was told by Jack a while ago that if I wanted to at the end here, at the, when I finish up, I could say something I've never said before, and it's such an honor to say it, and it is something I will always remember and something quite meaningful to me, and that is to offer an invitation. Wow. I've known me for 75 years, and here I am offering an invitation to come and show your belief in Christ. Thank you this morning. As Jack said, we'll have some question and answer in a little bit, and I think you'll enjoy that. Thank you.